God bless you all. Let's grab our Bibles and we'll start this evening's service, Lord Being Willing. And we are going to carry on a Bible study on the great women of the Bible. And we have reached the Queen of Sheba. Okay. And so let's turn actually for a text to Psalms 72. All right. And it says, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteousness flourish, and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this evening. Teach us something out of your word. Let us enter closer into your presence. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may take your seats. While I was looking through the scriptures and through the studying on this, I actually learned something about Canada. The motto of Canada, national motto of Canada, I didn't write it down, but actually comes from Psalm 72. Did you know that? Yeah. Where it says, he shall have dominion from sea to sea. That's mentioned in the Canadian motto. I mean, yeah, no wonder Satan's attacking that country, you know. So, and every other country. Anyway, I want you to think of this. Remember last time we looked at Solomon and we looked at Bathsheba and how he became king at the end of David's life. And so David's an old man, he's weak, he hardly has any strength left in him, but he has enough strength to proclaim Solomon king. And we see here at the end of this psalm, and I know we're doing the Queen of Sheba, and we'll get there, okay? But we're going to lay a little background, because what I really want to do is say, do you see something really wonderful, really marvelous in the Word of God that you can apply to you? That your name, you are in the scriptures, and the scriptures are going to call you to the path that God wants you to tread. And that's really wonderful. And we're going to see this in the life of the Queen of Sheba. So David is an old man. In fact, the end, it says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Was that the last psalm that he ever wrote? Maybe. And in it, he's praying a blessing for Solomon. And though he's weak physically, something amazing happens to him because he has a gift of prophecy, and it's really wonderful because you can see him raising up into that spiritual realm where he says, Lord, bless Solomon, bless my son, let his kingdom. And you can see in this how the vision of the kingdom of God mixes in with his prayer for Solomon. Okay? Because all kings shall fall but down before him. All nations shall serve him. That's speaking of Jesus. And so it's one of those scriptures that we can see the mingling of the scripture of the spiritual and the physical. And it's really wonderful to see because we should be people that as we walk from day to day, as we pray, as we see things, we should be in a spiritual state where we can see the spiritual and the physical join together and move towards that and say, I'm living in the spiritual. So David was seeing something in the spiritual. Okay? And many of these things, as we see, Solomon died. But it says here, they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure. All right? Speaking of Christ. So it's one of those prophetic, but it's prophetic for Solomon as well. And you probably noticed here, let me lower this just a bit. There's a bit of a pop there. You probably noticed here, oh well, I'll leave it to the sound technicians. Verse 10, the kings of Tarshish and the Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. And then in verse 15, it says, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. And we can look about that, and there are people that do and say, ah, well, Solomon had this, you know, written after he had all of this experience. But no, this was written before David died, and it's written as a prophecy that was fulfilled in the life of King Solomon. And that's really quite something. It's really amazing because, well, at the time, Israel was kind of a regional power. It conquered the nations around it, but it wasn't a worldwide power. The worldwide powers at the time were Egypt, Assyria, Babylon. Those were the ancient empires that were around Israel. But if you look at history, it seems like King David and King Solomon stepped into a power vacuum where Egypt lost a lot of its power and the empires of the north lost a lot of their power and allowed a regional power to arise. Because if you look at the history of Egypt, Egypt was the most powerful country, and they would send armies north to fight against the Assyrians, and the Assyrians would send armies south to fight against, and they would all march through the land that is the land of Israel, and there wasn't much the Israelites could do to stop them because unless God was on their side, yeah, they would be defeated. And you can kind of see that in the book of Kings if you look on it. But Solomon just fit into this time. Let's go to 1 Kings. In chapter 4, and it talks about the kingdom of Solomon. Okay. Verse 20, it says, Judah and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. and he dwelt in safety. And it said, so he was a regional power, but at the time David was speaking, that hadn't happened yet. And so we was prophesying, and that came to pass in the life of Solomon. Now, without knowing anything about David's prophecy, down south was the kingdom of Sheba. It says Sheba and Seba. And it seems to be two related kingdoms, one on each side of the Red Sea. Okay, one in kind of where Saudi Arabia is, and one where Ethiopia is. And so it's not sure which one of those kingdoms it is, but they had a reputation for being wild people. Okay, they had a reputation, at least early, and if we read in Job, we can read about the Job chapter 1, when all the calamities befell Job. The first one in Job chapter 1, there was a day when his sons and his daughters were drinking. There came a messenger to Joab and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses were feeding beside him, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. That's from the south. Okay. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has come from heaven and has burned up the sheep. Isn't that interesting? That was the action of Satan. But to everyone, it looked like the fire of God came down. Okay. I'm alone. That's from above. Okay. And then he was yet speaking. There came another, the Chaldeans, that's from the north, made out with three bands and fell upon the camels. I'm alone and escaped. And then a wind came from the wilderness, that's from below, if you like. So from four directions, Job was attacked and destroyed, from the south, from the north, from above, and from around him, the nature, if you like. So it's your neighbors are against you, north and south. God's against you, and the very nature is against you and taking away everything. But those Sabians, same people as the Queen of Sheba. Okay? So, but also known, because it was on the sea, as a place of merchants, place of merchandise. Let's have a look in Ezekiel 27. And it says, the merchants of Sheba and Rama, they were thy merchants. They occupied in thy fairs with chief of all spices, with all precious stones and gold. Haran and Cana and Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Asher and Chilmad were thy merchants. These thy merchants in all sorts of things, in blue cloth and so on and so forth. So they're a trading nation, but also a raiding nation. Okay? Maybe the Vikings of the south, I don't know. But with this, Solomon starts trading and he starts building his kingdom. And the glory and the wisdom that God has given him starts becoming known. And the people close by start to recognize that and start to fear that and say, well, we better not go up against him because God's on his side. And, you know, folks, gods are real. Okay? Not just God is real, but gods are real. And a lot of the time in our lives, the battles that we go through are battles between different gods. So it's like, How much worship are you giving to the God of YouTube? And how much is the God of YouTube battling against the God of the Bible? Yeah? How much worship are you giving to the God of music, of worldly music? And how is that affecting your worship of the God of the Bible? You can't serve two masters. All of these nations had their own gods, and they all worshiped their own gods because the way they worshiped their God gave them the ability to live successfully in the world and to say, to give a cause and an effect. All right? If there is no rain, let's sacrifice to our God and he will bring rain. The biggest God today is the God of science. Because everyone is looking to explain, why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to someone else? Why are we going through, there's a heat wave going across Europe. And everyone's after, what's the explanation for the heat wave? And the God of climate change is the reason for the heat wave. And the God of climate change is angry enough that people are dying because we're not appeasing the God of climate change enough. Now, that may sound kind of crazy. In a way, it's meant to sound kind of crazy. But if you look at what people are doing, what motivates people, what people are trying to achieve and why they're trying to achieve it, they say it's because of science, but the thing that motivates you in your life is the God that you serve. Are you satisfied with the God that you serve? Does the God that you serve give you an explanation for what's going on in your life and for what's coming in your future and give you a way to say, how can I make things better? God of climate change does this. I can make things better by buying an electric car. If I buy an electric car, I can save the planet. We had an electric car for a while till it got in an accident, and then we had to, you know, recycle it, and hopefully it was put to good use. But in that electric car, they had a little dashboard light that would light up with trees. So you could drive along. And if you drove really, you think I'm joking, I'm not. If you drove along really nicely and smoothly, you'd get a little tree. It's like, oh, I drove well enough that I saved a tree. Let's see if I can save another tree. Can't remember, maybe we got up to 3 or 3.5 trees in the time that we had it. It would be on a journey. But what is that? It's saying, here's something that you can do that will speak into the problems that the world has or that you have that will make things better. How's your God treating you today? Because this is the role of God. So I want to ask you a question. Are you happy with your life? Because if you're not happy with your life, maybe the God you're serving isn't the right God for you. And I'm even talking about right now, if you're serving the God of the Bible and the God of the Bible isn't giving you the answers that you need and the God of the Bible isn't showing you how to live your life right and the God of the Bible isn't giving you directions that's actually improving your life, maybe that's not the God for you. Yeah? Now, what's that? What about Job? He was tested for a while, but he held on to God and he said, I know that if I could only get before him, if I could only lay my complaint out, I would know things would be better if I could get in front of God. And he held on to that faith. All right? So your faith in your God isn't about, you know, looking at your what you're going through. It's about saying, what can I do that's going to get me to that better place? And if you're not serving this God of the Bible in a way that's making your life better, you're not serving him right. And if you can't serve him right, maybe you shouldn't serve him at all. Okay? That's kind of rough. The Queen of Sheba was serving her gods. And she heard from the travelers, from the traders, coming down in the ships, coming down in the caravans, trading for the spices, trading for the gold, trading for the possessions of the land. She heard of the wisdom of Solomon. So let's turn to chapter 10 of 1 Kings. And I love this, because now you think about this. There is a scriptural foundation laid now for the Queen of Sheba. There is a word spoken of the Queen of Sheba that she knows nothing about. Nobody came to her, at least that we know of, nobody came to her and says, hey, do you know David wrote this psalm? And I think it applies to you, and so I think you should go up and see Solomon. All right? And there's a scripture written for you. There's a scripture written for each one of us that we start off knowing nothing about. But in the rumors, in the whispers, in the talk about Solomon and the amazing things, there was something in the heart of the Queen of Sheba that was drawn to the prophecy of the scripture that was written about her that she knew nothing about. Like they say, deep calleth to the deep. There was something eternal, something everlasting in the words that, have you heard of Solomon? Have you heard what wisdom he has? Have you heard how he serves his God? And there was something eternal in those rumors. It just reminds me of Rahab the harlot, right? We have heard, yeah, we haven't seen, but we've heard what you did on the other side of Jordan. I've heard of the miracles of Egypt. And something tells me I am not happy with the God I serve. And it's better for me to be identified. Man, if only I could join those people. It seems like they have a real God. And the Queen of Sheba had that same, just by the whispers of the word of God, something drew her into that. I have heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Okay? There are many famous kings, many famous pharaohs, but the name of Solomon, concerning the name of the Lord, there was something where she said, there's a God there that maybe can meet the needs that I have in a way my current gods are not. So it's quite something. How are you responding to the word of God? You don't know. To be quite honest, you don't know. But we can look back in our lives and maybe see how we have responded and see how other people have responded. It's an amazing, it's a deep mystery, that mystery of predestination, that the word of God is going to somehow touch your life and bring about in you every single part that it spoke of you. I've said this before, I love this. Brother Andrew, God smuggler. He found a Christian in Soviet Russia who said, I'm a Christian because I found a page in the Bible. And he says the pages of the Bible were highly valued in Soviet Russia because they're nice and thin. They made good cigarette paper. And so from piece of cigarette paper that he unrolled and read, he found salvation. Brother Andrew said, show me that piece of paper. I want to see, you know, what is it? For God so loved the world, you know, he that believes on the name of the Lord, he showed him, he still had it. And it was the names of the mighty men of the house of David. And he said, how did that bring you to the Lord? He said, and I realized that in the Russian army, I'm just a number. But in God's army, he knows my name. And that predestinated scrap of the Bible was enough to speak something eternal into the heart. And those rumors of Solomon and the name of the Lord was enough to speak something in the heart of the Queen of Sheba. Why? Because she was predestinated to it. And David, when he reached back into that prophecy and prayed for his son Solomon, reached into a spiritual realm of predestination and said, the kings of Sheba, the gold of Sheba will sustain him. Because he reached into the eternal. And that came written on the page. If you've ever read the Bible and something struck your heart, what's striking you is the eternal part of the Word of God hitting your heart and saying, ooh, and you're like, ooh, that's exciting, but I don't know why. But you can know why as you grow, because what it is, it's your identification with the eternal God. I like this. She responded to the word when it was presented to her, no matter the messenger. Oh, no matter the messenger. All right. And Paul said, some indeed preach Christ of envy, supposing to add to my bonds. Some indeed preach Christ genuinely. Some are troublemakers. He says, but I don't really care, because if the name of Christ is preached somehow, somewhere, that will reach someone and they will respond to that eternal part. So, you know. Don't ever stop anyone preaching the name of Christ. It doesn't matter what denomination they are. The Jehovah Witnesses come around. I won't say they got a lot of the truth. They got some of the truth, though. They have the name of Jesus. That could be someone's trigger into great things. All right? Love it. Okay, so she came to prove him with hard questions, you know, so she catches something and that, or here's something else, that gives her a vision of something to do. So I'm going to ask you tonight, have you read the Word of God recently? And have you read the Word of God and has it given you a vision of something to do in your life? Genuine question. Because she caught hold of the Word of God and it gave her a vision, not, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that makes me feel good. But, oh, I need to go and do something about this. Let's get together a caravan. Let's get the wealth of the kingdom together. Reading estimates. We'll get there in a second. She brought 120 talents of gold. The best estimates that I can find online are, and we don't know exactly what a talent was, and we don't know exactly, but the price of gold fluctuates as well. But the best estimates that I've read is somewhere between $46 million and $224 million. But I think those estimates were made before the price of gold shot up the last time. So it seems to me that's probably about double the highest one, depending on what a talent was. But she says, let's bring $250 million worth of gold with us. The best spices we got in the kingdom. All right. So this was no mean undertaking. She says, let's empty the treasures, because that's what the value of knowing which God to serve is to me. Because if I know which God to serve, I know how to order my life right. If I know which God to serve, I know how to order my kingdom right. and it doesn't matter. All these riches mean nothing compared with knowing what's the right God to serve. It should be the same with us. It's like, what do riches matter compared with knowing the right God to serve? They'll all pass away like dust. But knowing God is the eternal. So she has a vision. And we know, okay, I'm going to read this. Proverbs 29:18. Okay. I'm going to turn there. You can turn there if you want to. Just to bring this home. And Proverbs are couplets. They're meant to be considered together. Okay. All right. So couplets, like verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. So they're meant to be considered together. All right. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So we like to say, where there is no vision, the people perish. But within that is the vision that we should have, which is keeping the law of God. Okay. How does that apply to us today? Let's turn to James chapter 1. Some of these I didn't put bookmarks in. So you have time to turn there yourselves if you want to. All right. James chapter 1, verse 23. All right. Well, we'll start at verse 22. Well, we could just start wherever we want, okay? But we'll just start at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth away his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. All right, so let's break that down together. Okay, it's about looking in the mirror. All right. So, some of you sisters have got quite fancy hairstyles, all right? Some of you brothers are very well clean shaven, okay? And so, how do you get there? You look in the mirror and you fix your hair, right? And you check, is this looking good? And if it's not looking good, you look in the mirror and you're like, okay? Or whatever it is, you got a brush or something, or fluff it up. If I'm shaving, well, I don't know. I've never done, like, long hair. Whatever you girls do, okay? I can talk about shaving, okay? Because I shave underneath here, and I kind of shave around here just to, you know, I think it looks smart. I could grow it all out long, all right? And so I'll look in the mirror and I'll shave away and I'll be like, how's the line look and how's this? And I'm looking in the mirror with the purpose of doing something to my face that hopefully makes it look better, right? And that's what we're doing when we look into the mirror of God's word. We look into the mirror and we should see love, joy, peace. It's like, whoa, I got really angry today. Ah, I need to touch up. I need to fix my hair. You know, there's a little place out of, and let's put that and tuck that in and get a bobby pins and the different things. And let's fix our hair based on what we see in the mirror. And if we don't do that, all we do is we're like, look in the mirror. Oh, And then you go out and, you know, it's like, Derek, did you shave today? I guess. Like, or you go out and there's something up with your hair, something sticking out, and you catch yourself looking. It's like, how did I miss that this morning? Bad hair day or whatever it is. But that's what we're talking about. The Queen of Sheba saw something in the mirror of God's word that says, here's something I need to do. And she caught that vision and she held on to that vision, even though the potential for it to go wrong was quite bad, you know, but I am going to see Solomon. I look in the mirror and I say, I need to tidy up. I need to shave. I need to brush my teeth. That's a good one. We can all relate to that. It's like brushing your teeth. Yeah, and you brush your teeth in the morning, you don't look in the mirror, you go out, or you brush your teeth after breakfast, you go out and you look at that and there's a big lump of food hanging in your teeth. And you're like, oh, how embarrassing. Why? Because you didn't look in the mirror and get the action to prepare your life, get the right actions in order. So looking into the mirror of God's word should give you an aim, a vision, something to put into effect in your life. So if you're reading your Bible and you're praying, but you're not changing your life, you are an unfruitful hearer of the word because it's never going into action. God is putting a vision of you in the word before you. And he's going to highlight something that he wants you to work on, that he wants you to bring to him in prayer. But if you are just reading your Bible and then forgetting and nothing becomes an action, what would it profit the Queen of Sheba to say, oh, that's really exciting. Ah, but I think I'm going to stay here. I've got $250 million. I'll stay here till I have, you know, $1 billion and then I'll just bring some of it. You know what I mean? Action. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. Why? He's got an aim and he says, I have somewhere that I'm going and I'm going to press, I'm going to move towards that. I'm not going to worry about what's behind me, and we should be doing the same thing. Okay. So if the Queen of Sheba is going through the deserts and maybe the wind whips up a sandstorm, it's like, well, should we turn back? It might be worse tomorrow. Might be another sandstorm. We might get buried. It's like, no, I have a vision. I'm going to forget what happened because I still have a prize that we haven't achieved yet. When you sin, when you fall from grace into disgrace, can you say, I forget that which is behind me because I still have a prize I'm pressing for? Let me put it in the sea of forgetfulness and continue to press on to the prize. If you've lost sight of that, you've lost sight of the prize of the Bible. Get back to reading your Bible and letting that excite you into action. Wow. It's like Brother Don isn't here, but I've only got to like halfway through verse one on this. So God bless you, Brother Don. I know you said he was watching in, taking after you this time. Well, it was only 30 minutes last time, so maybe a little longer, or we'll break this up into two. We'll see. I think I can get through to the end in the next 10 minutes. She came to prove him with hard questions. And the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And that word prove has a dual meaning. It means to test, to examine, to scrutinize, to see whether something is genuine or not. That's the first meaning. And the second meaning is to recognize something as genuine and to hold to the worth that it has. Okay? So she came to prove him with hard questions. I've heard rumors. These rumors are enough to excite me. These rumors are enough to motivate me to come and visit you. and she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And that's the thing. Are you communing with God of all that's in your heart? Or are you leaving something back? Because if you commune with him of all that's in your heart, he has an answer for all that you will share. If you keep something back, he has an answer for that too. But until you're willing to share, he's not going to give you that answer. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And so now she has the proof of the God that's in Solomon. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, the meat of his tables and the sitting of his servants and the apparel of his ministers, and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. You know, this scripture is so important that it's written twice in the Bible, once in Kings and once in Corinthians. Okay? So pay attention. That scripture that Jesus said about the Queen of Sheba coming to condemn this generation, for she came from the south, or the Queen of the South came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here. That's also written twice in the scriptures. So it's like, pay attention to this. There's something here for us, written twice in the scriptures. Do you recognize the glory of, okay, this may sound, you know, it's like, folks, do you recognize God's glory in me? All right. Now, not saying that to say, look at me, how glorious I am, but saying, if you're close to God, you will recognize the glory of his ministers. And I'm not saying his ministers that are behind this. I'm saying, when you talk to Sister Laura, do you recognize the glory of his minister? Yeah? When you hear Janelle sing a song, do you recognize the glory of his minister? This isn't about separating the preaching ministry from the rest of the congregation, but saying we're the ones who get to stand up here most often, yeah, and talk to you guys. If you can see the glory of God, if God has spoken to you tonight, then you've seen the glory of God in his minister, not to glorify me, yeah, but to say there's a worthy God that's speaking to all of us. And then if you go out and Eliana says, God bless you, and she says something that just speaks to your heart, do you recognize the glory of God in his ministers? Because the glory of God in his ministers is every single one of the body of Christ. Yeah? Whether it's Solomon on the throne, whether it's Peter and Charity vacuuming and cleaning up after church, Sister Karen playing the piano, this is all expressions of the glory of God. Can you recognize that? Not just in them, but now can you also recognize the glory of God in you? And say, I am a part of the ministry of the glory of God, where someone who comes in, I can be a part of saying, God bless you, of welcome, of saying something or doing something that's on your heart that is going to trigger something in a way that maybe a preacher can't speak to that person, but they need to hear something from somebody else that's just going to quicken a little bit of life into them and draw them into the kingdom of God. It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is what God gives to me. Your responsibility is what God gives to you to be an effective minister. Whether that's from behind the pulpit or from behind the sound desk or behind the piano or just sitting in the pew. But people will see the glory of God expressed in every single one of us, or they should. And that will only start if we can see the glory of God expressed in every single one of us. Okay? So So start looking for the glory of God in those around you. There was no more spirit in her, and she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom, albeit I believe not the words." Well, there was something in her that said, it's worth going to find out. "Until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard, because all those ministers were there to glorify Solomon." And all of us ministers of God are here to glorify God, because God is the one we want to put people into contact with. Not Brother Don or Derek or Jesse or any of the ministers, or to come to listen to the nice, you know, music, and thank you for all the nice musicians. But if they are not being reached by the glory of God in that ministry, it's just, may as well go to a concert where you have professional musicians, and with respect, they're, you know, well trained. They can produce a nicer sound, but they can't produce the glory of God in the way you can produce the glory of God playing the violin or playing the cello or the saxophone. And God will touch people through that ministry. All right? But it's there to produce the glory of God. "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore he made thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave to the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as those which the queen of Sheba gave to the king Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also, and psalters for the singers, and there was no such almug trees nor was seen unto this day. And the king Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his own royal bounty. The blessings that you get from the glory of God represented here. But now, this is the last thing. So the proof of God in her, God in Solomon, was the answer of her heart. And the proof of God in her was the answer of her heart as well. And so she took back a worship of the true God to her country. Because now, so she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And that's all we read. But now we have this, what was her new vision? To say, I have seen the glory of God, and this is the God that we should follow. Okay? And if you've truly seen the glory of God and the ministry of God, and if it's truly touched your hearts, and if he's given you blessings, and if he's filled you up to overflowing, given you all that you ask and all that he wants to give you. You see that? Solomon gave her everything she asked for. Let's read it again. Okay. King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his own royal bounty. So God has got a royal bounty for you, but he likes you so much, yeah, that he'll give you anything else you ask for as well. Right? So there's a royal bounty and extra blessings on the top. And what do we do with this royal bounty and those extra blessings? We take them back to our country. And we say, go ye into the gospel, into the world, and preach the gospel. Share the good news of the glory of God with those around you. What God has given you is not for you. What God has given you of his glory is not so you can be like, ah, look at me. Look at me, full of the glory of God, wearing a tie. The preacher. I think I'm the only one, only brother here wearing a tie. Have you got a tie on? No. See? You can tell I'm, right? It's not about saying, it's for me. It's about saying, you know why I wear a tie? Because I like the clip-on microphone, not the ear microphone. And so I wear a tie so I can clip the microphone on. Okay? So I'm wearing a tie for the service tonight. So I can, you know, you understand what I mean. The things that you have, the glory that you've been given, enjoy them. But they're not for you. They're for you to share and take to other people. As the Queen of Sheba did. And that's the lesson for this evening. I hope it was a blessing. Okay. Let's have some musicians up here. Let's experience the glory of God in the musicians, yeah? But not just in the musicians. Let's sing to the glory of God. The glory of God that's inside you right now, yeah? I want you to express that in a song. What shall we sing? I don't know. What's that? What's the song? That's a good song. Joy Unspeakable. Yeah, I didn't get to sing this one, and I like it. So, this is His grace for us. This is His glory on us. Let's glorify God.
I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and look at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed.
Waves of glory. So, if that glory's in you, it's because you've been on that journey where God has called you from one place to another place. You've experienced the glory of God. You've given something to it. You've received something. And that's a journey that repeats in your life. God is calling us to higher and higher glory. But the glory that he's given you, take it and share it with others. Okay? That's why he gave it to you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for revealing to us, for calling to us from your word where we didn't even know we were written. But here we are, finding, discovering we're written in the word. Father, help us to be true written epistles read of all men, showing your glory to those around us, that they can see us and can say, ah, there's a real God doing real things, producing a real service in real his ministers, Lord, each one of us, that we could point them to you and say, this is the way you should live. This is the God that you should serve, because this God is the God of truth. This God is the God of reality. This God will get you the best results through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to find people to witness to, little gems among the dirt, that we can bring them into your kingdom, that your kingdom could come on earth, and that we could dwell with you. Don't let us lose our vision. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you know that song, Don't Lose Your Vision of Jesus? Keep your eyes ever on him. Do we have that one? Okay. Don't lose your vision.